Welcome to the College Football Bros. I'm Michael Newman.
And I'm Trey Newman.
All right. Well, first off, we got to say congrats to the UConn Huskies for winning the college basketball national title. Trey, you and I did not have that. We both picked Houston to win our bracket. We were all high and mighty about our nice little strategy, and it did not work out. But we have a special guest here, your wife, Allie Newman, who won the whole pool.
The whole thing. The whole kit and caboodle. Sure did.
So, Allie, what was your strategy for the pool?
Yeah, so I really work best under pressure. So I try to wait until about 90 seconds before the game start my pool pick, some bracket pick. And then after that, it's just really go as fast as possible. So I just pick whatever team looks like the best mascot or one that I recognize the name of, and I pick from there, and then I just win.
She literally, I had to remind her on the West Coast, the game started like Thursday morning at like 9:20 a.m. or whatever it was. I reminded her about 9:05, like, hey, did you fill out your bracket? And she did it in probably 54 seconds. Like, she knows enough that like UConn is really good, obviously.
Yeah.
And she had Purdue in the national, like, I mean, I know they're 2-1 seeds, but like, I mean, pretty impressive.
Doesn't help to overthink things.
Yeah, she didn't overthink it. Go with the true best teams.
We're lucky, or you're lucky, that the Jaspers weren't in this tournament because that might have cost you.
Yeah. I've been too loyal to Manhattan.
I might not have picked them.
So you had UConn and Purdue in the national title. That, did you have any other Final Four teams? Do we remember?
I don't think so. I think she might have had Arizona and
I don't even remember.
Yeah, I guess what were the other ones? NC State and who was the
NC? Yeah, well, NC State and Alabama, who not many people obviously had. Yeah. So
getting the national title and the winner was,
but yeah, exactly.
And the tiebreaker when you have to pick the points, I was only a couple points off, I think.
Really?
Oh, that only was for you. That was only going to come into play if Purdue won. Because if Purdue won, she would have tied. But then it was going to come down to the total score tiebreaker. Oh, she would have. Yeah, you would have won because her total was 120, and it finished 135. And I think the other person had like 165 or something.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Idiot.
So
who was the other person?
The other idiot, I think, was Juice, a patron. So
no. Yeah.
But he needed Purdue. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
But yeah, she hit. She hit.
So I assume this is the first time you've brought this up to Trey that you've won once.
Yeah. First time ever. Yeah. I haven't talked about it all week at all.
No.
If anybody needs lessons, though, I can.
She reminded me like
podcast.
And she reminded me like throughout the tournament that she just so happened to be leading.
I think. Next year, you might have to make an appearance on the College Basketball Bros episode before the tournament.
Right.
We'll get your bracket picks.
We could just do like a, it'll be a 1 minute episode. We'll just watch her fill out her bracket.
We could have that on YouTube. Go through, get your thoughts about why you're picking each team.
It would be pretty fascinating.
Yeah, it works.
All right. Cool. Thank you.
What number did you come in?
You know,
I don't even know if you were on there. I saw your name.
Yeah, you had to keep scrolling. I don't know. It's sad. I spent so much time like looking at Ken Palm and other analytics, and all for naught.
Are you even in this bracket?
That's in a separate pool. Oh. So you know, yeah, you're just in all the pools. Yeah,
Yes,
congrats, Allie.
Thank
Good
you.
Job.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good job.
I'll be awaiting my prize.
This was it.
All right. Cool. All right. Yes. Well, she got a little time to gloat there, and I'm sure has a lot more throughout the rest of the year until next bracket.
That's right.
Okay. Well, this episode we got the NFL draft coming up in a couple weeks here. So we're going to do some college football themed drafts, and we did an episode like this a few years ago, but we haven't done it for a while. And we'll start here with the first one is the next Power Conference team to make their first ever playoff appearance. And so that's the goal here in this draft, me against Trey. And I mean, when we did this a few years ago, there was no guarantee that in the next playoff there'd be any new teams.
Right.
With the 4-team playoff. With the 12-team, there's likely to be multiple teams here that do make it. So I guess it's whoever gets the most new teams in the playoff wins this draft. So I don't know who should go first.
Lead us off.
Okay. I think it's an easy, somewhat easy pick here for number one. I'm taking Penn State. They're the team that maybe it wasn't easy.
They're definitely there.
They're one of a couple teams. Anyway, so with the expanded field, if you look backwards, I think they were the team that would have most benefited from a 12-team playoff.
They had
so many years where they're in that top 10 or 12 and just could never crack the top four. But so if they just kind of play like they've been playing, they've got a good chance. And this heading into the season is one of the better James Franklin teams with what they have returning, and with maybe Michigan potentially taking a step back in the Big Ten, Penn State could be that team.
All right. Yep. I agree. Well, you know, the team I'm going to take is a similar team that just can't quite get over the hump in their conference. And I'm taking Ole Miss here. Mm-hmm. Just cause Lane has them on the rise. They just had the program's first 11 win season ever. He once again got a good transfer portal class. And what's good about that class is a lot of it focused on defense. They got three SEC defensive starters that are coming in. Not to mention, of course, they return Jackson Dart, who is in line for a monster year, you know, the clear cut number one. And then I think we've talked about it already in the offseason, maybe not them in particular, but I like their schedule. Soft non-conference. They do have to play at LSU, but they get Oklahoma and Georgia at home. So they could make some noise and finish in that top 12.
Yeah, I think those were the clear top two. Like, those are the only two that may be more likely than not to make the playoff. Next pick here. Well, do we want to do, I don't know, do we want to do snake or?
We can maybe go back not. And forth.
Yeah, we'll go back and forth because then it'll kind of even out throughout the other drafts. I am going to take, I'm down to two SEC teams here. And I'll pick Tennessee. Okay. Don't feel too strongly about it, but their win total, I'll just tell you who the other team I was considering was Missouri, and their win totals are basically the same. But Tennessee, I think, just has what looks to be a slightly tougher schedule. So the fact that they're kind of around the same win total, tougher schedule, you know, committee's going to take that into account. So the market, I think, likes Tennessee maybe just a hair more. And I just have a little bit more trust, I guess, in the talent that the Vols have, that upside.
Yeah, Nico time.
Yep.
I'll just take the other team you mentioned, Missouri. And I totally 100% agree with you that Missouri, this pick isn't necessarily a team strength pick, but they still should be good. I mean, for Eli Drinkwitz, they had an 11-win season last year. The offense really improved. They got Luther Burden back. And, you know, I think you brought it up about them a few weeks ago, how their schedule is a joke in terms of, it's as easy as it could be being in the SEC, especially with that
avoid
very soft
all the best teams in the SEC, and they play all the worst teams.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. But so, yeah, that's why I'm going to take Missouri, because just record-wise, they should have a chance.
For sure. Okay, fifth pick here. I will take Miami. Because schedule is very easy, so I don't think it would take much luck for them to get to 10 or possibly even 11 wins and get an at-large spot. And even if they don't get an at-large, of course, the ACC is up for grabs. Clemson not being special the past couple of years. FSU, of course, loses a good amount from last year. And, yeah, Cam Ward coming in at quarterback. I think that's a pretty high floor guy. I'm just bullish on the U this year. I just think Mario's been building the talent. They're just gonna keep getting better and better.
This could be the breakthrough year. All right, so I'm gonna go here with a team that, you know, I wouldn't favor over some of these teams, but just in consideration of their conference, the Big 12, someone has to have a team, and I'm taking Utah. because they're going to be one of the favorites in this new Big 12. And, you know, you look at last year, injuries were kind of their undoing, mainly with Cam Rising. But they so they get Cam Rising, Brent Keithy back, Micah Bernard at running back. And they were able to develop a young offensive line. And I just trust Kyle Whittingham, Morgan Scalley's defense. So they'll be in line for – they might not be in at large, but they could definitely obviously win the Big 12.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think the logical place to go next was the Big 12. And I'm taking another Big 12 team. I'm taking the other co-favorite to win the conference, Kansas State. This one depends maybe a lot on Avery Johnson at quarterback, whether he's the real deal. Kind of optimistic about him because they seem to – it seemed like maybe they had a choice between him and Will Howard, and they kind of committed to the young quarterback of the future. And I think the defense has a very high floor. It's just a matter of whether the offense – I mean, you'd think it would at least drop off somewhat, but how much is the question? They do lose a lot on that offense. But yeah, if Avery Johnson is legit, can certainly win the Big 12.
Yep. All right. I'm going to go back to the ACC. I'm going to go with your boy, Jeff Brohm, Michael Louisville. You know, they surprised last year getting to the ACC championship. Now, I'll admit, like, he's going to have to work some magic again. Brohm is. He's going to heavily rely on guys from the transfer portal. It looks like it'll be Tyler Shuck at quarterback from Texas Tech. But they got Penny Boone, who was the MAC Offensive Player of the Year at running back from Toledo. They got a really good edge rusher, Tyler Barron from Tennessee, had 10.5 tackles for loss. And like you mentioned, like the ACC isn't the toughest on paper going into the year. It's going to be kind of wide open. So maybe Louisville's the team that can break through. We'll see.
Okay. Ninth pick, I think, here. I'm going to take Texas A&M just because the talent is there. If Mike Elko can have an immediate impact like he did at Duke, because like Duke... You have to think that, how am I forgetting the longtime Duke?
Cutcliffe, sure.
Cutcliffe. If Cutcliffe was underachieving at the end there, and the roster wasn't as bad as they had been performing. And so Elko came in there and immediately just had the roster play more to its potential, and maybe even above its what you would have thought its potential was. If he can do the same thing at A&M, where they've been recruiting 4 and 5 stars, then yeah, they can be a top 10 team.
Yeah. And I like, they got Colin Klein, offensive coordinator. Okay. That's a good one. Just talent alone should put them, give them a shot. Let's see here.
I really hope I know who you're going with here.
Oh, oh, well, you want, I'll save them for you. I assume.
Okay.
I'm going back to the Big 12. I'm going to say Oklahoma State. Because I'm just thinking of a Big 12 team's got to make it, and there's just no, like, you know, superior dominant team. And Oklahoma State was great last year. Ollie Gordon's back. Alan Bowman's back for like 100th year, right? So they, you know, and Gundy just has a way. Like, I almost wrote him off last year. Shame on me. So if he can kind of keep that momentum going and bring it into this year, the Pokes might have a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm going to, I guess, go Homer here. I'm taking USC.
There you go. I was giving it to you.
I'm definitely not bullish on them this year. Especially with a brutal schedule. Of course, the committee will take that into account, so they don't, you know, need to have an 11-1 record to get into the playoff, but still, I mean, there's just a lot of potential losses there. But, you know, you've got a Lincoln Riley offense, so you hope you're pretty dang good on that side of the ball, no matter what, though less of a given this year with some offensive line concerns, of course, losing Caleb. But still, you pencil in a pretty good offense. And, you know, a decent crop of defensive transfers, nothing crazy, but you also brought in a really good defensive staff, so there's the potential to take a massive leap on that side of the ball. I'm not betting on a massive leap. I'm betting on a more modest one, but could be wrong. So yeah. And then also really what I would, one of the reasons I'll pick them here. What?
Would you look at it like, do you think, I would think the defense would improve more than the offense would regress, just because I know you lose Caleb Williams, but you got Lincoln Riley in that system.
I mean,
I don't know. Unless you,
I hope
like
so.
If you don't think Miller Moss can do it.
No, I mean, I worry. I'm kind of a little bit worried about the offensive line. But yeah, I'm also worried about Miller Moss compared to Caleb Williams.
Well, you would think that's no a pretty big there, downgrade. But.
So I don't know. I mean, I hope you're right. I'd have to look. I don't exactly remember where USC finished in kind of the predictive metrics last year. Was it like maybe in the 20s, maybe like 25? So I guess I would, I don't know if I'm setting an over-under as to where USC finishes in the predictive metrics in 2024. I mean, it's way early in the offseason, but maybe I'd put that at like 20 or something. So I don't know. I'm kind of counting on USC being roughly the same as last year, but I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, your point though on picking them?
Well, I kind of made my points. Well, actually, no. Oh, the last point, I had was that it's still April 11th as we record this, and there's a second wave of the transfer portal, and USC has seemed to maybe get its NIL, really up and running the last month or so. And so maybe they can make some big splashes that will make me feel better about the O-line or better about the defense in the next couple months.
Yep. All right, we're getting thin here, but like we said, there's going to be probably a couple new ones this year, next year. I will say, I think maybe I'm wrong here, but this might be their only chance here in the near future, and I think it would have to happen this year. Arizona. They lost Jed Fish to Washington, of course, but they did keep Noah Fifita. They got T-Mac McMillan, their wide receiver, on the outside. They had that incredible run last year, winning, 11 games or something? 10 games. They won the Alamo Bowl over Oklahoma. Like, Brent Brennan has to strike now while the iron's hot. Otherwise, it might be tough, but.
Okay. I'm kind of almost tapped out here, but
yeah.
I'll make another pick. I'm just going to take Iowa. It's just, you know, it's Iowa. They're always seem to be.
They always have that one like breakthrough random year too.
Yeah. And so now with with a 12-team playoff, you know, I don't know how many times they would have made it. Maybe not a ton, but this gives them a better chance.
Yeah. I'll just throw out NC State. They got Grayson McCall this year. Dave Dorn seems to do a pretty good job the last few years, and maybe they can break through in the ACC.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, this is literally the last team I have on my list. Kansas. Just to get another
we're
Big
getting,
12.
Yeah. No, I agree. We're getting tough on the list. Low on the list.
Do you have one more or are we done?
No, we could just list every team now.
Okay, well, I will say, though, I should not, if we're doing a draft here competitively, I went first, so I shouldn't have the last pick. Pick, or you can say one more.
Oh, well, then I'll just, one of my favorite teams at the end of last year was SMU, and because I loved what they were doing at quarterback, and Rhett Lashley had them rolling. They do have to go to the ACC now, but SMU is my pick.
Okay. All right, there we go. Let's see. So the next draft we have is the coach to be fired first in 2024. This is a fun one. You go first this time.
All right. Well, I think there's a clear two. Maybe not.
I think there's clear one. I don't know. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to give you, I know who you're talking about then. I'm going to give you that one. I'm going to say Sam Pittman of Arkansas. Okay. He's 11-14 the last couple of years, but last year they were 1-7 and last in the SEC West. They just have a steep hill to climb. KJ Jefferson left the program. He transferred to UCF, I think. They did make it. He's doing what he has to do. He made a last minute great hire in Bobby Petrino to run the offense, but I don't know. It's just too steep of a hill to climb for me. And I think the Razorbacks will, you know, they want to go somewhere else and maybe match wits with they just got John Calipari for basketball and they want to make a splash hire in football now.
Yeah, no, that I think I was wrong when I said clear one, because especially when you take into account the buyout because Pittman's is, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's more reasonable than the guy who I'm going to draft here, but I'm still going to draft him.
Yeah.
Billy Napier at Florida. It's just, it's going to, I just, it's going to be really hard for him to survive. Sometimes guys go into the year seeming dead in the water and they end up surviving. Neil Brown did it last year. But man, Florida, yeah, their schedule, we've talked about it, is,
it's so tough.
Is just completely unfair. And so Napier's had two losing seasons to start out his tenure at Florida. Recruiting this past year suffered a bunch of decommitments to where he had a chance to really have some positive momentum. That kind of got taken away to some extent. And their season win total is 5.5. The under is a big favorite. If the schedule was more front-loaded, I'd really like this pick because, you know, as we're trying to pick who gets fired first. But the whole schedule's tough. I mean, the back half is tougher, but
it's insane.
But anyway, it's just, you know, he this has a chance. If they go 5-7, it's not like he's guaranteed to get fired, I wouldn't think. I mean, Florida fans can correct me if I'm wrong. If it happens the right way, or if they, you know, maybe a freshman quarterback comes in and looks okay at the end, something like that. But
this
yeah,
is the problem tough. Where, like, I wish the I'm not talking about Florida fans. I'm just talking about sports fans or college football fans in general would have a global rational mind with this, because this is an example where now you could debate if he's a good coach or not, but I think a lot of people out there, like, forget the record. I think people think, oh, you know, Napier's a good coach by himself, but the situation, like, the AD might have his hand just like forced where he's just going to have to can him if the record isn't what they want it to be. But my point is that there's context to that. Like, and you're explaining that with the schedule, like 5-7. Now I know if you're Florida, 5-7, it shouldn't be acceptable. And maybe 5-7 deserves to be fired. But like, if you're 6-6 or 7-5 with this schedule, considering you're not starting at the highest point, that might not be terrible. But
I think a bowl game, I think he'll be safe, because I want to say his buyout's like $30 million or something. So
okay, yeah, that's
he doesn't need to have like a good year, but there needs to be something positive.
It's just it's like their first game. There's like a lot of pressure on that first game. They play Miami, if you lose that, your season's not done. But my God, like, that's such a brutal slate. You want to get out the gates well.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with Dave Aranda.
Yeah.
Baylor. Man, this fell fast. Like, won the Big 12 a couple years ago, or 2021. But then it was 6 wins the year after, 3 wins last year. He's making a change at offensive coordinator, but the with Spavital. I like him, but quarterback situation's kind of up for grabs now. Could be the Toledo transfer, Daquan Finn, but the program vibe just isn't trending up right now.
I like the addition of Finn, so we'll see if that helps. Next pick, I'm going non-power conference here. Give me Will Hall at Southern Miss. He's 13-24 through three years there, and they are not supposed to be very good in 2024. And they've been a solid program the past 20 years, made a lot of bowl games, so this is not acceptable to them. Another 3-9 season or something is not going to cut it. And I think he's in the last year of his contract, so that's a big one too. It's like there's nothing preventing them from firing him.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to say Clark Lee. This isn't totally an indictment on Lee. It's just almost impossible to win at Vanderbilt. The more you look at what James Franklin did in hindsight, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. They lost some more to the transfer portal. He made a lot of staff changes to hopefully spark something. But the bottom line, they've only had 2 SEC wins in 3 years, 2-10 overall last year. And it was kind of weird. Like, they had a 5-7 year a couple years ago. They played a soft non-conference. But, like, still, that's fine. It seems like you're trending, but backed it up with 2-10. So not great.
Yeah, and after that 5-7 year, I think, is when he got an extension through 2027. So that maybe could save him here, but
yeah,
we'll see. Okay, my next pick is Sonny Cumbie at Louisiana Tech. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, Clark Lee. I was looking at the wrong thing in my notes. His contract goes through 2029. Ooh.
Yikes.
that's going to be tough to fire him, I would imagine. But Sonny Cumbie from Louisiana Tech is the one who's goes through 2027. But Louisiana Tech, like Southern Miss, has been a solid program, and he's gone 3-9, 3-9 in his first 2 years, and they're 121st in the nation in returning production, so it's not expected to get much better. So it's one of those things where it's like another really bad season 3 years in. It's like, what are we doing here? I mean, I guess maybe the buyout would save them, but you got to have something positive going on.
All right. I'm interested where we're going to go upcoming, because I think there's the next couple guys could sound like a couple surprise to some people, but I'm going to say
Ryan
Kalani,
Day.
Kalani Sata, what'd you say?
Ryan Day.
Yeah. Honestly, people out there would say that. I'm going to say Kalani Sataki, BYU. He's been sneaky successful there, but last year was their first year in the Big 12. Wasn't good. They were 5-7, 2-7 in the league. So I feel like if they have a similar year, I'd imagine kind of BYU's, the program,
the elders,
the fans, they won't want to fall behind the pack in the Big 12 after what that would be two really poor years and not really showing signs of promise.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I've never been high on him for whatever reason.
Yeah, he's had a couple solid years.
Yeah, some very solid years. So I don't know. I don't know what the feeling is there in Provo. Let's see here. Okay. Who do I go with next? Well, man. I'm gonna go with Joe Moorhead. There was a controversial one I could have taken.
Yeah.
I'm taking Joe Moorhead at Akron. His first 2 years there, 2-10, 2-10. They're supposed to be one of the worst teams in college football again. At some point, you got to go show something. I know Akron is not a program that you're going to have a short leash. And his contract goes through 2027 because I think some P5 schools were trying to poach him for a coordinator gig and they extended him. Because how do you get extended when you go 2-10? But I don't know. Maybe they'll find the money.
Yeah, because at this point, when he's not showing anything, like if I'm an Akron fan, for all the Zip fans out there, like I would want somebody just young and energetic. Give me a chance.
Yeah,
like
they go 2-10 again. Yeah, why would I donate money to the program? Why would I?
Yeah, you know, like it's clearly not going to work.
Yeah, which sucks. That I mean, it's only 2 years in. He's got a shot, but like I thought that was a very good hire for a program Akron to get Joe Moorhead.
That's a great.
He's just kind of gotten worse and worse ever since those Penn State days.
Yeah.
Because like even at Oregon, it was like, it didn't go that well there as OC. And obviously Mississippi State, it was short-lived, but wasn't anything special.
Right. I'm going to go with another maybe surprise to people, Pat Narduzzi, Pitt. Mm. Maybe it's a little reach because he went to the Peach Bowl a couple years ago, but I start to look at these coaches too, like where – this is going to be his 10th year, but they went 3-9 last year. And my point is when you start to look at the coaches that have been around, you start to have to kind of look at it, like ignore almost to some degree what they did 5+ years ago. Cause we're in this like kind of new era. And if they have back-to-back disappointing seasons, it might be getting a little stale there and a change might be needed to kind of reinvigorate the program.
Yeah. No, he was on my list too. I don't think he's that great.
I have always thought that, but he really like surprised me a couple years ago, so I gave him props. But
okay, well, I don't have anybody else. I just wrote down Ryan Day, even though there's probably somebody else that's more likely for sure. But
what would it take? It would be.
He could get fired. I mean, that could
happen.
That's
what I'm saying.
What would it take?
It like he can't lose to Michigan when they don't have Harbaugh. But
he could. He could.
No, I know. If he goes 11-1 and loses to Michigan, he'd be fine.
He's not getting fired. Too,
also, but I think it would be like 9-3 with a couple blowout losses. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where I just feel like the way it would go is he might not get fired. He might just leave. Like he might just go take. It kind of a mutual like he just goes. Right. it's so sour, kind of like Chip Kelly at UCLA just left to go take a coordinator job. Maybe Ryan Day would go to an NFL coordinator job or I don't know.
Right.
But yeah, what would it take? Yeah. I guess like three losses if they happened in kind of a bad way. And one of them was Michigan.
Yeah. I mean, you and I both just think they're like, there's just no way that'll happen, but they're just so,
no way he'll get fired. Stacked. I mean, it would be, I don't think it should, but.
No, I don't think it should either, but I don't foresee like a bad season at all.
Agreed. I would love, though.
I would love
11-1 with a loss to Michigan. That's what we need.
Like, yeah,
without I just would love that too. Because then, like last year, if you know, that's what happened, right? Or
No.
Did they lose another one as well?
Well, they won the last second.
They ended up losing to Missouri.
Yeah, they lost to Missouri.
In the bowl game. How quickly we forget.
Yeah, no, I think that was their only loss.
Yep, okay. Yeah, of course. That's what it was. So, yeah, last year it was crazy after they lost to Michigan to anyone. It wasn't that many people, but anyone calling to fire Ryan Day, just insane after all that he's accomplished the year before. Coming a whisker away from beating Georgia and probably winning the national title, and then going 11-1, losing against a really good Michigan team on the road. This year, if it happens again, if they go 11-0 and then lose to Michigan at home, it would still be crazy to call for him to be fired, but it would get slightly less crazy.
it would.
But it would still be crazy.
Yeah.
But it would be really funny.
We cheer for stories.
Okay, so I guess then you don't get your last pick. Wait, did you go first in this draft?
Yeah. I picked first, so I'm good.
I'll just take Ryan Day. Whatever, who cares?
There you go. It's on the record. You get it.
Okay, next draft. True freshman quarterback to make the most starts, and so I guess we'll just combine everyone that you draft. You add up how many starts they got, and same with me.
Yeah,
you go first.
All right. I'll go first. I'm going to go with my guy, Dylan Raiola, Nebraska. They just have such a poor quarterback room. Heinrich Harburg kind of inherited the role last year after Sims was terrible, but Harburg's just not very good. He obviously could be the starter for the first game or whatever, but Danny Kalen is the other freshman to watch, but obviously it's all about Raiola and this will be kind of this. It would truly kind of start the identity of the Rule era.
Offense is going to be bad.
Oh, there's no way. Not good.
But I agree. That would have been my first pick. Okay. Give me Elijah Brown at Stanford. He was a big recruit out of Modern Day. And Stanford, their quarterbacks struggled last year. Ashton Daniels, Justin Lampson. They don't really have a great room. You maybe think might as well go with the young, talented guy.
All right. I'm going to say DJ Lagway of Florida. Now, so they got Graham Mertz. But the way I'm looking at this is Lagway is a top three quarterback, depending on, what site you're using. But if Mertz struggles or they lose a couple games and, Napier is just desperate, wants to kind of kickstart the team, he might insert Lagway, and just because he's also a guy that's maybe too talented to not at least use.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick. Okay, my pick here, I'm going with the local guy, local to us, Danny O'Neill at San Diego State. He was originally committed to Colorado. He followed Sean Lewis when Sean Lewis was mysteriously
good find
demoted by
it's ridiculous
by Deion Sanders. And then ended up taking the San Diego State job. And SDSU, they've got an open competition. There's like four guys in it. They also brought in AJ Duffy as a transfer from Florida State. So maybe he would like be the favorite for the job. I'm not sure. But O'Neill seems like has a real shot. He's to win the job from day one. And if not, maybe at some point in the season.
All right. I'm going to go Walker White of Auburn. So Peyton Thorne, he's the returning starter, But White is kind of he's the first true big quarterback recruit for Freeze at Auburn. I wouldn't be surprised if someone else other than Thorne gets some play, and maybe White gets in the fold during the season at some point if Thorne's struggling or they have a couple losses.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. My next pick here, I'll just take Jaden Davis at Michigan.
Good one.
Just because there's no, sure thing at quarterback for Michigan. Like, are they considering, looking at this next transfer window? Could they bring in another quarterback? I don't know. Maybe someone on the roster will step up. Obviously, Orgy, we saw a good amount of him last year. But yeah, it's a real competition, and I don't think Davis would start day one, but maybe someone gets hurt or he starts developing, then he's got a shot.
Yeah, he's the blue chip high ceiling guy. All right, so that's as deep as I went. I kind of tapped out on this one. Pretty thin for quarterbacks. So who else were you looking at?
I only had a couple more guys on my list. I had Julian Sain, at Ohio State, or Aaron Noland. There's two true freshmen on that roster.
Sain. Oh yeah. Wait, no, Sain. Did he go to he went to Bama or Ohio State?
Well, he committed to Bama and then transferred.
Right. That's right.
Transferred when, yeah. So yeah, I mean, Will Howard is the likely starter, but if he gets hurt, then it'll be one of those guys. And then Michael Van Buren at Mississippi State was a pretty good recruit. They have Blake Shapen, but he's no sure thing.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Wide receiver to win the Biletnikoff. I will go first here.
Yeah, you take it.
I thought this was a clear number one. Not that he's, this is a wide open award pretty much every year.
But
I'm taking Luther Burden at Missouri.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Had over 1,200 yards last year. Missouri returns a lot on offense, including his quarterback, Brady Cook. Good chance of winning 9 or 10 games, as we mentioned, with their easy schedule. He's got a good chance of being there at the end.
Yep, he's one of the guys that, lived up to his recruiting hype. Yep. I'm going to go Tez Johnson of Oregon. With Troy Franklin gone, I think Johnson should be the clear number one guy. He was already 12th in the league or in the country last year in receiving yards. And now you got Dylan Gabriel there, a little bit more pass heavy. And Oregon just seems to, they always have their foot on the gas with Will Stein at offensive coordinator and Dan Lanning being so aggressive. I think Johnson's in line to have a huge year.
I agree. I like him. But if I was, my second pick would have been, I'm taking Emeka Abuka at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Just not a ton of experience in Ohio State's receiving core. Of course, everyone talking about the true freshman, Jeremiah Smith, but he's a true freshman and, they lost Marvin Harrison Jr. So Abuka should be the guy. Dealt with an injury last year, so it was a down season. But he had 1,100 yards the year before. If he can have a bounce back and he's fully healthy, could be a big season.
This is, I don't know, maybe a little bold, but I'm just placing a bet on an LSU receiver, Kyren Lacy. LSU receivers seem to work out lately. I know Denbrock is gone as the offensive coordinator, but it's still, Brian Kelly. The quarterback play is going to be a little different this year since Nussmeier isn't really a dual threat. So I think there could be some more receiving opportunities. Lacy had over 500 yards and 7 touchdowns while he was in the shadows of Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. So he's definitely in line to be, to get, obviously the production should increase and could be a stud.
Okay. Yeah, it is. It's probably a wise decision to take guys that are on teams that are expected to be really good, because it is, you look back at the past winners, it's not a lot of lower schools, but
yeah,
this team has a chance to be pretty good. I'm taking a guy whose first name I just refuse to pronounce. I just call him T-Mac.
Yeah.
McMillan at Arizona. 1,400 yards last year. Just monster season. Now Jacob Cowing is gone. Not that, it's hard to target him any more than you did, but
yeah,
it's possible. And so he's just far and away the number one option. Still got Noah Fifita at quarterback. Big 12 is not, murderer's row of defenses. So
exactly. No, that's a good pick. That would have been my next one. All right. I'm going to take Trey Harris, Ole Miss. I'm bullish on Ole Miss this year, especially with Jackson Dart back and the talent around. And I think Harris should be the guy for him. He was the sixth highest graded receiver last year by Pro Football Focus, just shy of 1,000 yards to average 18 yards per catch. I think he's in line for a big season.
Okay. Let's see. I'm going to take another Oregon receiver, just a guy with huge upside, Evan Stewart, the transfer from Texas A&M. He's stepping into Troy Franklin's role, and maybe this can be his big breakout year. You know, we mentioned Dylan Gabriel. I really like him. He's much more proven than any quarterback that Stewart had at A&M. So we'll see. Yeah, I would also bet on Tez Johnson to have the most receiving yards for Oregon, but Stewart has a chance.
Yeah. I mean, they could double up on Johnson and it opens up for Stewart. But all right, I'm going to go another team that should be pretty good, of course. Texas's Isaiah Bond, a big transfer from Alabama. I mean, we all know the huge Iron Bowl catch he had. So his name's already out there for brand and might get bigger this year. I just think he's going to benefit going to a more potent passing attack with Quinn Ewers. He seems like the guy that could fill the shoes of Xavier Worthy. And so I think it's a good get for Sarkisian.
Okay. Do we want to do another round of receivers or are we good?
We don't need to. We're getting. I can go one more.
All right, let's go one more. Unless I'm stealing your guy here.
Yeah,
Xavier Restrepo.
No. That wasn't the guy. But I like to go with the U.
I'm putting my reputation on the U this year. Mario Cristobal and the U. I can't wait to do. We got to do our coach ranking soon because Mario Cristobal, he keeps climbing my list. He's going to be top five by the time we do this episode.
Yeah.
The more he loses, the more I love him. 1,000 yards last year for Restrepo. Cam Ward, maybe an upgrade over Tyler Van Dyke. Miami, manageable schedule. I think should win 9, maybe 10 games. There you go.
Book it. All right, then. Wait, so then would I have, is this my, should I last go pick. Or last pick? All right, I got Colin Lacey at Louisville. He was 7th in the nation last year, 1,300 yards. He's transferring from South Alabama, but I just trust Brohm will get him and use him appropriately and get the most out of him.
That's a good pick. That's a good pick. Value pick there. I should have had him higher.
Miami, I took your other guy, Brohm. So
I know. I kind of regret not taking him. Okay. Let's see here. Oh, Heisman Trophy. Here we go. Yeah. Heisman Trophy. Let's see who went first last time. I did. So why don't you go first?
Okay. I'll just be, I guess, somewhat chalky. I'm just going to say Carson Beck of Georgia.
Okay.
Because last year it was just amazing. It was kind of one of those things where last year, about halfway through the season, I just happened to kind of look at his stats and I was just so surprised at how good they were. He was kind of under the radar, you know, statistic wise. But anyways, we know Georgia will be good again. Beck's comfortable in the system. Don't see why his numbers won't get him at least in the Heisman mix.
Yeah, it is. It's like you don't feel like a Georgia quarterback's going to win the Heisman, but then like Stetson Bennett almost did. So
yeah,
Carson Beck with put up almost 4,000 yards last year. Yeah, why not? And he's co-favorite for a reason. Co-favorite with, depending on where you look, Quinn Ewers. That'll be my pick. I'm not like a huge Quinn Ewers guy. I didn't really want to take him here. There's another guy that I'm looking at that I really hope you don't take next, but
I'm giving it to you.
But I mean, he's a five-star talent and Ewers put up pretty good numbers last year. If he takes a step forward this year, Heisman type numbers are definitely within reach and Texas is likely to be very, very good this year. So that, of course, is pretty much a requirement for the Heisman.
Yep. All right. I know who you're going with, so I'm not touching him. I do like my next pick anyways. Jackson Dart, again, I guess you're all in on Miami. I guess I'm going all in on this. I like what Kiffin's got going. I feel like he's going to go for it all this year. Maybe also try and win a Heisman. The momentum is strong. Multiple years in the system for Dart. Like we said earlier, the schedule is somewhat favorable. And you, because remember last season, like there was Spencer Sanders came in. Mm-hmm. You didn't know who truly was the guy, but he grabbed the reins, and no doubt about it, he's the man going this offseason. And I just feel like if Ole Miss is in the playoff hunt at all, it'll be a big story, given they love to talk about Lane. So that only kind of increases your exposure for Dart.
Man, you bring up Spencer Sanders. Like, what a... I mean, I don't know what he's up to now. Like, is he just...
I actually don't know if he's trying to...
His eligibility, I believe, is done. And I don't know. Maybe he gets a look at the NFL. I have no idea. But, man, what a... It's harsh to say it's a blunder, because he took a shot. Like when he transferred there, it was like, okay, it was kind of 50-50 in my mind and a lot of people's right. mind as to whether he would start or Jackson Dart. And if you become the starter under Lane Kiffin in a Lane Kiffin offense, like you're probably gonna have a pretty good year and have a chance to really improve your NFL draft stock. But that was his last year. Like he went into a place where he was far from guaranteed to be the starter, and he wasn't the starter, and now his career is over. I don't know if he's wanting to get into coaching or no idea what he's doing, right. But that seems like that's a tough break or just an interesting decision. Anyway, drafting Heisman quarterbacks. And so, yeah, you took Ole Miss, one you're excited about, and there is a quarterback that I'm very excited about because I am so bullish on this team, Cam Ward of Miami. No, I'm kidding. I want to see your face.
Oh man. I was like, if you did that, I was like, damn it, I should have gone with the other guy.
Dylan Gabriel, Oregon. Because Oregon, I think, will be a top five or top 10 team. We saw Bo Nix go into Oregon's offense and take a massive leap. Dylan Gabriel doesn't need to take a massive leap, really. He just needs to take kind of a more modest leap, or just have, you know, better team around, a better offensive line in front of him, and just put up a little bit better numbers to be in the Heisman conversation. Really, most importantly, just be on a team that wins 10 or 11 games to be in that Heisman conversation. But Dylan Gabriel just puts up good numbers. That's what he's done. That's what I expect him to do at Oregon. I would like to check Circa right now, because they opened him up at like,
yeah,
was it 22 to 1 or 20 to 1?
It was, yeah, he's not that anymore.
You don't think so?
Well, no, I mean, I just looked at, like, I'm just talking about, you know, DraftKings had him like the third choice now.
I'm going to try and find, it's hard to find Vegas-based books, though they have some other ones, but I'm going to try and look at what you can get his odds at Circa now. But yeah, Dylan Gabriel.
All right. I'm going to take Will Howard of Ohio State, just because Ryan Day's desperate. He wants it bad this year. Not the Heisman, but just a good team, of course. But you mix in that they got Chip Kelly. You know, Howard is a proven veteran. I think they're going to get the most out of him. Obviously, there's a ton of talent around him. I feel like Day's just going to have his foot on the gas this year, wants them to be back on top in the Big Ten and nationally. And even if he's not a huge volume passer, I'm getting a quarterback that should be on a top playoff team.
Okay, I've so far failed to find any Circa odds on the Heisman, but yeah, Will Howard I would have taken as well. Okay, my next pick, I will go Jalen Milroe. Alabama was in the hunt last year for the Heisman. He's the favorite to be the starter in a Kalen DeBoer offense. That is reason alone to draft him here.
Yes, it is. All right, I'm going to take, who am I going to go with now? I'm going to take Garrett Nussmeier, LSU, because he's been in Brian Kelly's system. It's year three for Brian Kelly. Seems like they're poised to compete even more in the SEC this year. They're not going to be running the zone read, since he's not the runner that Jaden Daniels was. So, you know, it might increase the passing volume. He's got Kyron Lacy to throw to on the outside, who I brought up earlier. I think is going to take a big leap, just because you've got another. That's just what LSU receivers tend to do. So I'm going with Nussmeier.
Okay. Well, that leaves me with, I'm going to go Nico Iamaliava, Tennessee. Offense, I mean, he's got the five-star talent. He's the upside is there, and that's what you need, of course, to be best player in the country, win the Heisman. Offense took a big step back last year, but Josh Heupel offense, you just five-star talent, like, he's got a chance.
That's right.
Are you trying to look up Circa as well?
I was. I've now just given up because I didn't want to download the app and go through all that.
Yeah, that's as far as I got as well.
Yeah, but actually, yeah. But it's just because Dylan Gabriel is either the co-favorite or second or third choice at every other sports book right now. So,
oh, okay. All right.
So we should have bet it day one, Mike.
Well, I wanted, but it happened. Someone posted it in the Discord, yeah. And I was like, give me Dylan Gabriel, but we have no access to it, to Circa.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to have a terrible year after all of that I've been talking about.
Yeah. So that was who I had. Did you have anybody else? I mean,
well, if we would have done another round, or I would have taken Riley Leonard, Notre Dame. Just because he's a dual threat and he's got Mike Denbrock as the offensive coordinator, who, of course, did a good job with Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati. Great job with Jaden Daniels at LSU.
Yeah, that's a great hire. Yeah. In all seriousness, this would have been a point where you could go for your Cam Ward, but we don't.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to kind of stop.
Okay. All right. Well, now we have a fun draft, non-college football, because college football is not fun. This is work. That was business.
Yes.
Now it's time for pleasure. Let's do a chips draft.
Yes.
Potato chips. Any flavor, any kind. Although, yeah, this is, I don't know about you, I struggled mightily to make my draft board here because
it's very hard.
It's very mood-based. It's like I have a list here, but it's hard for me to say which one's better than the other. They're different, but I did my best.
And I also did this based on, I have to eat these chips themselves. I can't include dip. Did you think about, tortilla chips? There's some tortilla chips I love, even by themselves, but with salsa or whatever, it's even better.
Yeah, no, you can't have, you could, but you can't have tortilla chips without dip. So, all right, fair enough. Then I only had one tortilla chip on there, but it was kind of it was an asterisk because you have to have dip with it.
I mean, I can eat them plain. I don't mind them, but.
You can, but it's not, they're
it's not,
not
the same.
They would fall heavily down the draft.
If you can't dip them.
Well, why don't we just, let's have a, before we get to the draft, let's just talk about tortilla chips separately.
Okay.
Well, you don't have any tortilla chips on your board.
Well, I do. Very, very low in this, considering this, when you're with no dip and all that.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. What's the best shape
of tortilla chip? Okay. This is a great question. I personally am between two.
Okay.
I'm going to say strips.
Ah. Okay. So that's not the worst.
Yeah. Okay.
Strips aren't bad. They have to have enough integrity to them that they're not going to break.
Yeah. No, there's these Mission tortilla strips.
Okay. My top tortilla chip was the Mission rounds. The round.
Okay.
Ones.
I love rounds and not the scoops like Tostitos.
No,
like,
no, the scoops
are okay, but
no,
but
the scoops are horrendous. The scoops are the worst invention that mankind has ever come up with.
I think I like a scoop better than a thin tortilla, traditional triangle tortilla chip.
I always think about
dipping it into a jar, and those don't always fit. And
the fitting into a jar actually is an issue. That is an important thing.
That's why
to
I
consider.
Like the rounds, or maybe even a scoop if I have to go there. But the strips always fit.
Yeah, the strip. That is true. That is a good point. A good point, because you're usually.
But I'm too lazy to pour.
Yeah, we're not pouring
out.
It into a bowl, you know. Sometimes, but if you're having company over, maybe you pour it into a nice bowl. But really, you're just, you're scooping it straight
I'm
from the bowl.
Double dipping, I'm doing it.
But
all.
The scoops, the scoops are horrible because I don't need that much of whatever I'm dipping into. That ratio is going to go
true.
Crazy.
Exactly.
If I filled up any reasonable amount of that scoop. And the scoop, like, it just makes for a bad bite. Like, I like a flat chip so that it's just coming at a nice angle to my teeth. Like, if I'm biting into a scoop, it's hitting
your gums or whatever.
Yeah, it's just I'm having to think about the angles and where. No, it's just, it's a mess. Scoops are terrible. We've had this conversation in the Discord, and I'm really going strong on it because I think Braden agreed with me. So I forget who it was that was on the other side that loved scoops, but scoops are terrible.
But yeah, so you do like Mission Tortilla though, right?
No, Mission Tortillas. The strips are good. I'm fine with that.
They're not flimsy. Like they're solid.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Every once in a while you get one that like kind of bends over, so it's like a 2-in-1, and yeah, those are
crunch. I know what you're talking. See, I love things like that, like types of food that when they're sort of like a what do you call it in DNA when or in like
oh, evolution, I know where you're trying to go with this.
When things mutate, like a mutation of a food item.
You get a lot of those with the strips.
Yeah, the strips. Like other examples of that off the top of my head is like, say at Burger King, if you had, which by the way, we talked about this recently. How many times have you been to Burger King in the last five years?
Honestly, not enough, but it's been like a couple times.
I think that's too many times, actually. But
I've probably been twice.
Okay, no, I'm saying yeah, but I
should have gone like five.
Enough.
But
no, Burger King is. I have a very low opinion of Burger King. It just when I drive by, I'm like that. Just does not seem.
There's a lot better burger options now, but it's still not. It's still decent. Mm-hmm.
I have a Burger King very close to me, and I talked with you about this, and
yeah.
I talked with my wife about what the over-under the amount of times I go to that Burger King in the next, like, 5 years, and I'd set it at, like, a half, because...
But since you are close, it's one of those things, like, if you're hungry at 9 o'clock and you need to get something quick, it's
convenient.
There's
other options, though. There's always going to be a better option.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's the number one, but... To your point, I think where you're leading to this, what was your point about this?
Oh, I was going to say if you order French fries there and you get an onion ring in there.
Their onion rings are sneaky good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you go there.
It's a nice little surprise to get the onion ring.
Yeah, it is. It's
What other examples of well, Chex Mix. When you have Chex Mix and one of the Chex has like a bunch of the... I don't know, whatever powder flavoring kind of is put into one of the Chex. It's so good.
Yes. Yep.
A negative example of this is I had a mutated Cinnamon Toast Crunch piece. I've talked about this on the podcast before, but it's been a few years. Too crunchy. A piece that was way, way too crunchy. And
cinnamon on it. It's like, where did this come from?
I haven't had it since because it just ruined it for me.
Oh no. That's an elite cereal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So tortilla chips aren't high on our list just because you can't do the dip factor here, but all right. So who's taking number one?
Go ahead.
Again, it's funny because like this all always is kind of personal flavor preference, but to me, I think pretty much almost any barbecue chip is
gonna
be my number one. So I'm just gonna be boring and say the Lay's barbecue chip.
I thought you would.
I love them. I mean, I could probably make five different barbecue chips my number one, but I'll just say Lay's barbecue.
They are good. Yeah. It's just a classic, simple one, but the Lay's barbecue are very good, so I can't knock that one. Okay, my next pick here, I will take the Kettle Brand jalapeno chips.
Okay, the Kettle Brand barbecue are really good, but yeah.
Yeah, Kettle Brand barbecue is on my Kettle Brand backyard barbecue, as they call it.
But, oh, yes, yes, yes.
No, the jalapeno chips, I just love a jalapeno chip. It just gives a nice spice, like, because you're having, a lot of times when I'm having chips, it's with a sandwich or something that's, you know, it's...
A little more plain.
Yeah, a little more plain, exactly. So the jalapeno is just nice little kick.
All right, you got me there. I'm going classics here. Doritos Cool Ranch.
So I think people would be between nacho cheese or Cool Ranch. Personally,
I'm a nacho cheese guy.
Well, I do like nacho cheese, and they're on my list, but I decided Cool Ranch ahead of them. And it actually just kind of, I just remember, I don't have them that much anymore, but I used to have those like in junior high or whatever a ton, but they're still very good.
What I had in junior high, Inglewood Junior High, was, did you ever get the snickerdoodles there?
Yes.
Oh.
Where are you talking about? Like they would come like in a round
Saran
like,
wrap.
Cellophane. Yeah.
Or whatever. Saran, yep. So,
yeah.
Oh man. Those were so good.
They were, and then they could put them in the microwave for
you. Put them in the microwave at the student store.
Yeah.
Cause we had to have been like two of the only people that did that.
What's that?
We had to have been two of the only people that did that.
I think, yeah, I think so. Usually people just took it and ate it as is, but. Like, yeah, no, put that thing in the microwave, baby.
We must have taught that to each other because, yeah, we'd go over to the student store and ask the woman there, hey, can you put this in the microwave? Oh, man. Oh, that was so good.
Very good. I think we're going to have to do like a cookies or dessert. We're going to have to do like other food dress. I think we might have to make that a Patreon.
We're overdue for a Patreon episode. So I think we should
different patrons. Draft.
Submit drafts to us and that'll be our next Patreon episode.
I think we did cereal. Well, we did that years ago.
Yeah.
We could always do that again, but we could do like desserts, you could do ice creams, you could do cookies, you could do, you know, treats, you know, whatever.
Anything. It doesn't even have to be food.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking food, but
yeah. No, submit to us in the Discord if you're in our Patreon ideas for different types of these drafts. We're still going in this chips draft. We're not done here.
Yes.
Wait, who just...
So I did Cool Ranch, and now it's...
Cool Ranch, okay. Yeah, people like that.
Oh, you don't?
No, it's fine. I was recently... I would buy like a four-pack of... it had more than four, but there were four types of flavors in the chips. They were just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
I usually have
variety
sandwiches
pack.
For lunch. Yeah, and it was variety pack, and it would have Cool Ranch Doritos.
Mm-hmm.
It would have the nacho cheese Doritos, and it would have... crunchy Cheetos and then the Cheetos puffs.
Okay.
I think that there might have been one more, but that might have been it. And the Cool Ranch was my least favorite. I still like it, but
all right.
It was number 4 on that list for me.
Wow.
But I will take I'll take another barbecue. Give me barbecue Pringles. I mean, Pringles in general are so good. So they had.
I had Pringles. List. Original Pringles are on mine.
Okay. I mean, yeah, original Pringles are great.
Yeah.
And I could argue that those are better than the barbecue. I don't know, but I just went with barbecue there. And when I'm eating Pringles, I like to have two at a time. I think.
You like the crunch.
A little too thin, maybe. So I like to have two at a time.
Wow. What do you? Isn't it? Don't you still feel like a dinosaur reaching down in the? When you get to the bottom of the can.
Yeah.
So awkward, but all right. Okay. I'm going to go Ruffles cheddar and sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
I really like those. Their sour cream and onions are good too, but I chose Ruffles cheddar and sour cream. Cause this is the ridges are, I love ridges on a chip. And this is kind of the thing that back to my point is like, I love the original Ruffles, but it's so much better when you have like the onion white dip or whatever. There are a dill white dip, but we're going to eat the chips themselves.
We're raw dog and chips in this.
We're raw so. Chips.
Okay, next pick for me. I brought it up. The classic crunchy Cheetos.
You've liked Cheetos.
Have I? Has that been a thing? I don't know. I thought it was like, a more... Maybe historically I have.
Was it Ryan? I thought one of you guys loved Cheetos.
I don't know, but they're good. And the only... thing that's bad about them is you can't have them. I can't have them if I'm not at home because the Cheeto dust is just such a nuisance. You got to be near a sink. You got to be
You can't eat them while driving
your own home.
It's like all over the steering wheel.
Definitely not.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna go classic Fritos. Does that count?
Yeah, Fritos. Are, no. Yeah. I know it's kind of that, but that counts.
Almost a
it's
snack.
It's in the category.
They have different. Novelty flavors, which are good, but just the classic Fritos are good from time to time.
Okay.
Well, I'm taking. You can get some weird mutations there too.
In the free, yeah, that's true. That's true.
A little bit.
Doritos nacho cheese, my next pick. Or what is the, yes. the red? Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. I was thinking about it. I was like, wait, that didn't sound right. But yeah, no, you're right. That's it. Okay. That's a good pick. I'm going to say kind of ridgy Sun Chips.
Oh, yeah. That Sun Chips are good.
Sun Chips. Because I like, I'm going to say for this, I'll say the original. I do like their Harvest Cheddar. But I guess if I like had to, for volume, I think the original Sun Chips I like.
Okay, we brought this up before, but it's the only one I have left on my list, so I'll just say it. The Kettle Brand Backyard Barbecue.
Oh yeah. Have you had like Deep River Barbecue? Deep River. There's all these kettle style chips now. Deep River's really good.
I don't know if I have.
It tastes similar.
You know what? I'm looking at the bag.
You've probably had them. You know, some random sandwich shop has them, but usually. Those are good. Okay.
Actually, I just thought of one more that I could say, so go ahead.
All right, good. You said Cheetos. Oh, so wait, which Cheeto do you like? The Puffs or like the original?
Well, I know. I like that's a good question.
I don't know what I don't know. I think I might like the Puffs better.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth, but I think I like the crunchy, so you're going with the Puff.
I might go the Puff if I had to.
And also, people love Flaming Hot Cheetos. I don't know if I've ever had them, to be honest.
I've only had them once or twice, so that's true. People do.
I need to try them again.
The Flaming Hot.
Okay, you're so right. You're going for Cheetos Puffs.
Oh, well, no.
No, you're not. Okay.
Yeah, I'll take Cheetos Puffs.
Okay, I just thought of the chips at Witch. They have like their own house.
Their own? Yes.
Yeah, which is, I think, salt and pepper. And yeah. It's so good.
I know.
They loaded that thing up with salt and pepper, and
you know what the trick is there too, is put them on the sandwich.
Oh, okay.
You can customize it where you can
tell them
bag.
To do it.
You could do it yourself too, but you can have it be a topping also. That's a nice touch.
Oh, wow. Interesting. How did you discover that?
Well, it was an option. You know how you customize.
Oh, it's an option on the little
on at least one of the style of the sandwiches, it was an option. But yeah, you can also do it yourself, and it's nice. Okay. Yeah, that's a fun list. There's a lot of chips out there. Because there's unlimited flavors of like all the styles, but
and there's things that are what qualifies as a chip. Do you like have you ever had Funyuns?
Yes. Not much.
Yeah, I had a Funyun kick for a while, only one time, and I had it for like a few months, and it was really good. I haven't had them since, really, but I remember it being pretty good. You wouldn't think so. It sounds bad, but it's pretty good.
Some people just like will take a bag of chips and snack on them. Personally, I usually only have chips with like a meal.
Yeah, same here. I'm only having it. And I have it, what I've been doing lately is, I have like a peanut butter and banana sandwich, me and Elvis, and I have a bag of chips for lunch.
I usually have it with lunch. Rarely do I have it just as a snack. Some people love it as a snack, which I'm not knocking because I do it occasionally, but.
And, you know, not good for the environment, but I love the little bags because it's portion control. Yes. And yeah, that's really the main reason. It just keeps me, if I was just taking it out of a giant bag, I would eat too much. Oh
yeah, game over. Yeah, absolutely.
But lately, I will say, I've switched away from the potato chips and I've been going to Chex Mix. That's been kind of my
Chex
snack
Mix are
of
very
choice.
Good. Those are very good. Have you ever had the, what is it called? The Muddy Buddies or something? It's like, it's Chex Mix brand, but they have like some chocolate coating on some of them and then some other powder on them. Original OG Chex Mix are the best, but it's a good like, you know, late night dessert occasionally.
You know, I haven't had that. I feel like it sounds familiar. I've also had, they have different flavors of Chex Mix. Like they used to have something like honey nut or something like that I remember I had for a while. But no, just OG Chex Mix. And actually, I made this list recently, like within the last couple months. So I figured I'll give you this list and this ranking and see what you think of it. So the OG Chex Mix, I'm going to rank all of the items, the pieces in there.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So have you've had, I mean, okay. You've had a lot of Chex Mix in your day?
Yes.
Okay. So here we go. Tell me.
I have my number one.
I think I'm going to have a different number one than like everybody.
Oh, no. Mine's the Chex.
Well, what? There's two Chex.
Oh.
There's two Chex.
Okay. Wow.
There's the corn Chex.
Yeah.
Which is the white one whatever color. And then the wheat Chex, the brown.
Yeah. I think I would go the light Chex.
Yeah. So that's what most people, I think, would go. The wheat Chex are my number one because.
Okay. They would probably be too. I love the okay. Chex.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the wheat Chex, though, just seem to be more often the ones that are somehow have soaked in the whatever powdery dust magic around. Chex Mix has. Those just seem to have like one out of every four of the wheat Chex has that. And I feel like it never has it in the. I feel like the corn Chex don't have as much flavor. So wheat Chex, number one, easily for me. Number two, corn Chex. Number three, the rye chip.
Yeah, just because it's unique. I don't think I would like eat a bag of them, but
no, definitely not.
But like just this, since they're in there and it's unique, yeah, I like it.
Exactly. It's sort of like this is like Lucky Charms where, you know, the marshmallows are great, but you gotta have the other. I mean,
yes.
Lucky Charms case, there's only one other thing in there. It's just different shapes. But yes, you gotta have the other fluff in there. So rye chip. Number four, the butt plug. the breadstick, as some people call it, is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
The bagel chip is number five, which made a comeback. Actually, they did not have it for I think like several years or something. The white.
Wait a second. Now I got
the white chip.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
It was gone until like the last year or something like that. They brought it back.
I did not follow it this intently.
Well, neither did I. But I discovered that. So that was number five for me. And then number six and seven are the square pretzel and the circle pretzel.
Yeah. I like pretzels, but it's not.
They're just fine though. Like no one who loves pretzels, they're fine. I will eat them if they're in front of me, but I don't.
Yes.
I don't love them.
Yeah. Those are. Oh yeah. I see what you're saying. Bagel chip is back.
When was that?
Well, there's like a buy on Target, and it's like a bag you can buy, and it says bagel. Literally on the bag, it says bagel chip. Is back.
Yeah, it's back.
Chex Mix is good,
very good.
Wow, I'm seeing a Chex Mix that someone made, and they added Cheez-Its.
Hmm.
Yeah. See, like for like cheese, I didn't include Cheez-Its on this because that's a cracker.
Yeah, I wouldn't count Cheez-Its.
Like
on
Ritz,
this list.
I love Ritz.
No,
I love
no
Cheez-Its, but that's not a chip.
Ritz are so good. The thing about Ritz is just it's impossible to stop eating them.
Oh no, yeah. It's like what's that? There's a famous like someone made a joke about that. Like once you've had one, you automatically have 10 or something like that.
Yeah, you got to have the whole sleeve. it's like
crazy. I'll do peanut butter on them. I'll eat them plain.
I don't know the how many calories they have, but it must be. Like it would be so easy to eat a sleeve of them, but that must be like a freaking 1500 calories.
Yeah, I don't think you want to know, but they're so good.
Yeah. We just had a vacation. Oh, by the way, on vacation, we set the over under. You set the over under for my golf score.
Yes. You laughed at my 98 over, I said.
I thought there was no chance I was going under, 98, 98 and a half, whatever you said. 96.
Yeah, with
boom.
With like what, three straight pars on one of the you chipped
please.
In?
Who's counting? I chipped in? Who's counting?
That was impressive. Yeah, that kind of set the tone. It was like the second hole and you chipped in from about 30 or 40 yards. It's like, okay, it's his day.
That was pretty nice. And I didn't even see it. I chipped it below. And I just yelled, "Stop, stop." And then started walking cuz it was kind of a blind chip. And then you told me it went in.
It was solid. Just hit the pin square. It was perfect. Yeah. Good times.
Did you beat my over under? I don't even know what you scored.
It
was like seven. I think I said.
I think we were really close.
77 and a half, maybe.
Okay. So I think I shot. I think I was 76 or 77. So oh, I think then we were both like right on our number. Like
right
we,
around
we
the
had good lines.
Good. Yeah. Great course. Great course.
Yes.
Carnation Golf Course in Seattle, Washington is where we were. Look it up. Yeah. Tall Chief.
Is that there anymore?
Are either of those still there?
That's a good point. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
They were beautiful courses.
They were.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the College Football Bros. Subscribe to our Patreon if you want to check out that drafts episode. I think let's plan to do that next week, Trey. And
that'll be a fun one.
We will talk to everybody soon.